I had an interview, a talk yesterday, middle of the day. I ended up talking to Dennis Morrow. And I thought that what he had to say was so interesting that, you know, I'm just going to run this tomorrow, and being today, of course. And we talk about how we're trying to help boys become men and the challenges of boys today in our feminized culture. Well, they're putting on a workshop a week from Saturday over at Parents Resource Center. ParentsResourceCenter.com is where you can find out more about this. And we end up going through the differences between men and women's brains. It's really interesting, and I'll share that with you next. All you have to do is read the news or just keep an eye on the culture, and it can be a very confusing time to be a young man, or maybe even a not-so-young man. What does it mean to be a man? How do you end up raising a boy to be a healthy man or an extraordinary man in this particular case? Well, there's a one-day workshop which is going on a week from Saturday, January 21st, and it's happening, and you can find out more at theparentsresourcecenter.com/sign up, but there's an event going on, and here to tell us more about it is Dennis Morrow. Now, Dennis, welcome to the show, first off. Good morning.
Thanks, Bill. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your counseling service and what you've been doing and how you ended up getting involved in Southern Oregon, this event coming up.
A lot of people hear about some of the work I've been doing, and actually this is what I call a hobby. It's something I got pulled into, not by plan. My day job is executive director of one of the largest adolescent and young adult service agencies in the state of Oregon, Janus Youth Programs. Mm-hmm. And we work with about 6,000 kids a year, and that takes up most of my time. But I have some teaching I do at night, and one of them is Portland Community College in the Drug and Alcohol Counselor Program. So about eight or nine years ago, they asked me to do a class, take over a class that's called Men in Addiction, to try and do gender-specific treatment for male addicts. And when I went online to try and find a textbook for that course, 9 years ago, there was not a single book in print in America about anything to do with counseling specifically for males or boys. And that just shocked me totally.
This is interesting because men and women, boys and girls, they have very different responses to and some of it can be cultural. Some of it can be how the brains are wired, too.
Absolutely. I had a close friend, and he did some of the same research, and he said, well, Dennis, there's nothing to tell us how to fix a guy after we're broken, but there's a lot of information coming out about brains and biology and the socialization process. Maybe we need to look and see how we did get broken to start with and then develop a way to work from there. And that's what started me on the journey. We call it the mailbox. That's M-A-L-E, mailbox, the box that boys get put into, born into in this country, and it really is an attempt to deal, a very poor attempt to deal with the brain and biological differences. Now, there's two ways to look at it, Bill. One is you can assume that we're all born the same, and then society screws us up pretty significantly. The other way you could look at it is we're actually born radically different at a physical level, and then society makes it even worse. So, and I used to be on the first end of that, but after I've done the research and the time I've spent over the last many years doing workshops around the country for people, I'm totally realizing we start different, and then it only goes downhill from there.
So you start then from the gender differences, and I suppose in some ways that seems to be something which is pretty confusing over something that I don't believe is all that confusing. What about you?
What I start with is usually we're dealing with parents, sometimes counselors, but everybody has been a boy or had a boy or had a father. And I say, you know, in this country we care about boys, don't we? And everybody goes, yeah. And your counselors, you care about boys, yeah. But then if you look at the statistic, I think that's a hard argument to make. We have twice as many boys, for instance, that are held back in kindergarten. We have 2 to 4 times more boys medicated in school for ADD, ADHD. When they get into high school, you've got twice as many suspensions that are male, 3 times more or expelled from high school. And ultimately, what people don't realize is being a teenage boy, I think, is the largest untreated childhood disease in America today, because more boys die from that than from any natural cause. You have 70 to 80% of the teenage suicide deaths are boys, and the third highest cause of death for teenagers is homicide, and that's 95% boys shooting boys. I don't think we're doing a very good job of getting us started. But if you go back to that beginning, the way we look at it in the workshop and what we'll talk about, and it's designed for anybody who is working with, around, or parenting, or in a relationship with. I've had many people say the workshops are really important for their professional career, but actually more important for their relationships if they're in a heterosexual relationship as a man or with a man. And what we will look at is we will look at what are the brain differences between males and females and how does that affect what we do with our boys. what are the biological differences, and then the socialization process and how that box that we trap boys in.
Would it be fair to say that the emotional life of girls and women in general is considerably more complex but also richer than the typical boy or man's life, but there are strengths that men bring to the table too that women do not, and vice versa? Is that fair?
That's close, but I don't like to apply the word richer because that implies a value that one is more than or better than the other.
Oh, okay.
And what I like to think of is we're different. And if we don't understand those differences, it's going to be hard to parent a boy. If you're a female, it's going to be hard to have a relationship with a man. For a man, it's going to be hard to have a relationship with a woman. I used to be a marriage counselor, and I will tell you 95% of the reason I now understand that people separate, again, in heterosexual relationships, has got to do with these brain and biological differences that we don't understand. And traditional marriage counseling has nothing to do with helping that stuff out.
Part two of my interview with Dennis Morrow, who is a counselor and who will be in town a week from Saturday at the Parent Resource Center. Really interesting stuff. We're going to be delving more into the differences between male and female brains and also why you need to counsel them and try to help them out differently. 6:31, this is the Bill Myers Show. Had a pretty smart talk with Dennis Morrow, who's here a week from Saturday, and it's a one-day workshop, Raising Healthy Boys to Be Extraordinary Men. And we were talking about who might be able to benefit from this. Interesting stuff.
Well, from the Parent Resource Center standpoint, we started out with parents. So if you are parenting a boy of any age, I think it's going to be a huge help to you. But it's also designed, many of the attendees that we're seeing already are counselors or therapists that are working in the field. Any career, if you have a juvenile detention officer, if you have a police officer, I do a training for every new Portland police officer on how we manage male brains on the street, for instance. So it's really a broad scale reach in terms of teachers. I've done some trainings in schools, but it's very helpful for teachers. And it's helpful for if you're in a relationship, either as a guy or with a guy. So
okay.
And anytime you see that gender stuff crossover. If you have a second, I'll give you just a quick example. Do you have just a minute here? We can talk.
Hey, all the time you want.
Well, if you look at it this way, the female brain has 7 different speech and language centers where words are produced, and they're on both hemispheres of the brain, and their two hemispheres talk to each other quite frequently. The male brain has 2 speech and language centers on only one hemisphere.
Is it on the left hemisphere by chance?
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. So the left hemisphere, which is, shall we say, the more logical, more third-dimensional kind of way of thinking, would that be fair to determine it that way?
Yeah. And so what you see is one of the common complaints you would see, I mean, even with friends, if you're a male, it feels like women talk too much. And if you're a female, one of the biggest issues is men never talk. But what about a reality of the female brain is producing 3.5 times more words, just producing more words available on a regular basis? Well, that makes a whole different deal out of it. Now, the other thing that's very interesting from a relationship and counseling standpoint is as women go through puberty, those speech and language centers actually connect and wire directly into the emotional center of the brain, which gets to what you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily women have a richer emotional life, but they now have words for their feelings. And if you ask a woman in counseling or in a relationship, how are you feeling? She can tell you in exquisite detail.
And then you ask a man or a boy, let's say, the same question, and they kind of stare at their shoes.
Yeah, or they'll go, fine, or okay, or I don't know. Because literally those speech centers don't connect into the brains. Now, it gets misdiagnosed often. It is not that men don't have feelings. It's that we don't have a ready vocabulary or word for them. And so what we have to do is we have to learn language. It's like I call it in counseling, like learning a second language. We have to find words for our emotions so we can express what's going on. But you see, the basic process you see in society is boys fail in school because schools are largely designed, the public education center's system is largely designed by female teachers for girls without realizing it. It's not reverse sexism. They're just looking through the female brain.
Yeah, through the prism. And so it would make sense, though, that if you have a largely female teaching system, then they're looking for people. Well, what's wrong? You have no problem sitting down and being quiet, and
right.
And it's okay because I can sit down and be quiet. It's not a problem. What's the matter with you? Oh,
correct.
Wait a minute. Here comes this boy that doesn't want to sit down and be quiet and wants to be active, let's say, or aggressive. It's time for the Ritalin. right?
Well, right. And again, doesn't want to be just as naturally, because the biological difference, the key one, is testosterone. And testosterone is an activity and an aggression and a risk-taking hormone. And so that's what it feels like inside. That feels normal to us. So then when the boy doesn't make it in school, they oftentimes get put on those drugs, and Ritalin and Adderall, at least one doctor says, actually destroys cells in the motivational center of the brain if you leave a kid on it long term. And then they fail there, so we send them to counseling, and now you have counseling theory, which up until the last few years, virtually all of the counseling theories in the country were developed around women, because women were the ones who were going to counseling. So what do you have to do in counseling? You have to sit still and talk about your feelings. And if you can't, what are you? You're unmotivated or resistant.
Mm-hmm.
So now you don't make it in counseling. So what it creates in the field I work in, the juvenile field, is we call it the school to jail pipeline. And people oftentimes don't understand this. But the United States of America, we have 5% of the world population who lives in this country, 5%. We have 25% of the incarcerated population of the entire world in this country.
Gee, so we're 5% of the population, 25% of the people incarcerated. Are we a people that's five times as bad as the rest of the world?
Right, and over 90% of those incarcerated people are men.
Hmm.
And the population in the jail is increasingly younger and increasingly disproportionately males of color.
All right. Well, Dennis Morrow, by the way, is going to be in town. It's on the 21st of January. Parents Resource Center is doing this event, which is raising healthy boys to be extraordinary men. So you're planning this then for parents who have boys and they want to be at their best here, teachers and counselors, moms that want to better connect. I'll bet you that there are single moms that might find themselves sort of at a loss when dealing with their son. I'll bet this would be a big help to them, wouldn't you say?
It's huge. It's huge, yes. And I have a lot of parents, I say, I also want you to have this information before your son gets to school, just because of the reason we're talking about. And many times I've had people in the workshops and they'll call me a month later and go, I am so glad, because the month after I attended, I was there and my teacher started talking about putting my kid on Ritalin. It was just exactly the conversation you told me was going to happen.
Well, you know, the same thing happened with my son over in Kansas City, that I received a phone call from his mother. And they want to put him on Ritalin. And I said, there's nothing wrong with him. He's a boy, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so through enough phone calls and counseling and tears and discussions and all the rest of it, the school system ended up not doing it to my son. And he turned out okay. He really did.
Yeah,
It worked out okay. So it's really about they've been having a school system, and they're trying to fit the boy into the system rather than helping the system adapt to the boy, right?
Exactly, exactly. And when you don't fit in, the way you get treated is you get treated as basically a dysfunctional female, because you can't mimic the behaviors that are going to be comfortable. Same thing in counseling. We try and get men to do what women are doing in counseling very fluidly, share their feelings, be close to each other, talk, look each other in the eyes, be empathic. And it's not that men can't benefit. We have a whole model of counseling that has been developed now that looks at gender-specific elements in a treatment program for boys and men, and then some processes that work more effectively with boys and men. So it's not that we cannot heal, and it's not that we cannot reach these issues, but you have to come at it from a different way.